Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we continue the conversation. Again, we thank Proctor Mayor Bill Carpenter for joining us. It was nice that he remembered you and Mr. Rosen. And of course, we didn't want to say. We know that we were trying to get him to come in studio, but being so busy, he was unable to join us.
Well, I didn't really want to tell the listening audience that Bill used to work for me a number of years ago. I wasn't sure if he wanted that disclosed, so he brought it up. So it was fair game at that point.
You know, my buddy Nick, actually, some people call him the mayor's body double at some points because
really?
He looks very similar,
okay.
Yes.
Well, we move forward, and our very next guest, we've had Dave on a couple of different times. He is not only the CEO of the Phantom Gourmet, but he is also the head of the Restaurant and Business Alliance. Mr. Dave Adelman joining us. Dave, how are you?
Guys, I'm great. I come to you live from West Palm, Florida. I'm training for the Boston Marathon. I could not take one more 16-mile run in the cold ice and the snow. So I did my road work down here, and I'm feeling good.
Well, we wanted to make you feel better. We got Richie Rosen in studio, as well as my co-host, Joe Rossi. And we thought we would kind of cool you off with some good conversation.
Hey, Rich, I got to get in on that wine and dine deal. Can you repeat the details of that? Because I think I'm going to go drink a bottle of wine and then crash in your living room.
$29.
It's wine and dine for $29 Sunday through Thursday. And you absolutely can crash in the living room anytime you want. How are you?
I'm getting in on that, man. That sounds great.
One thing I love about you, Dave, is that you are a guy who doesn't just pick a handful of Boston spots and talk about them. I mean, you're on Facebook and talking about all the great restaurants around the South Shore. I mean, there was, I think, one night that you were bringing up how much you love Cape Cod Pizza and other local eateries. I mean, you did something, I believe, on the Phantom Gourmet with McGuigan's Pub.
Well, I am proud of what I think my company did. We started 20 years ago, and before we got into the business, anybody that talked about restaurants just got fed by expensive PR firms or did recipes or did celebrity chef asks. And my company spends a fortune of money going all over New England to find all these interesting, cool places, and we don't really care. You know, if you're offering an amazing experience to take your wife or your girlfriend for Valentine's Day, a place like Mistral in Boston, we'll cover that. But if you've got the world's greatest pizza, cannoli, hamburger, hot dog anywhere in New England, or you're McGuinan's Pub that serves up shepherd's pie and a boot of beer, we're going to hit that too.
Shepherd's pie pizza.
Shepherd's pie pizza.
Shepherd's
and
pie pizza.
Nothing wrong with that, man. To me, that's fusion cuisine at its best.
But it's a little fattening if you're going to be running a marathon.
Well, let me tell you something, man. When you're training like me, and I am training like an animal, this thing is personal to me. I was born in Boston. I live in Boston. I was at Forum, inside Forum, when the bombs went off. And I love the city. And I love the marathon, and I'm going to come flying down Boylston Street, man. I am the best conditioned Jewish businessman in this nation right now.
Really? Now, I've heard you've already kind of taken a likeness to a couple of different Kenyans. Do you have a Kenyan name yet?
Well, I will tell you this. When I'm in shape and I'm getting close to being in the kind of shape that I want to be and need to be, I'm 6 feet tall, about a 65, and I think when I run 26.2 miles, I will cross the finish line about 158. So I'm going to be looking very, very, very thin. But I know Rich gave a very, very generous donation to my marathon run. I'm hoping to raise at least $10,000 for the Greg Hill Foundation, and I am going. I have arranged this. When I finish, I am turning around, going back down Boylston Street. I will arrive at Capitol Grill, where there will be a porterhouse and a bottle of Pinot Noir awaiting.
You know, I can't wait for Marathon Day to be there at the finish line, but if you spend too much time in the sun down in Palm Beach, you will look like one of the Kenyans because you're built like one of them. And, you know, you're dark enough as it is. You get much of a tan, and I won't be able to recognize you. I'll have to get your number.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Rich. You know, a lot of my really good friends are going to be there, and a lot of the people that I love. And I know I'm up to the task physically and mentally. I get zero doubt about that. Sometimes when I'm training, I'll run that 17th, 18th mile at about a pace of 7 minute miles, because I start getting so pumped up thinking about coming down Boylston Street. My fear is keeping my emotions in check. It's going to really be a lot for me to absorb, and I have a plan for a friend of mine to hand me a pair of sunglasses, because I'm going to be covering the race live for Channel 4 also. So
you know,
it's going to be an amazing day.
What people that are listening don't realize is you're an incredible boxing fan, but you're not a marathoner. And you are doing this, and you are trying to raise the money because of what happened last year. And I just think, on a serious note, it's absolutely incredible what you're doing and what you're putting yourself through to run this marathon. And, you know, it was a pleasure for me to make a contribution so I can be there to see you finish, because it has a lot of meaning.
It's nice of you to say. You know, I'm doing it in a way for me. I'm doing it in a way for charity. I'm doing it in a way for Boston. And I'm doing it in a way, not to be too corny or dramatic, but for freedom-loving people all over the world. There's going to be the eyes of the world on Boston, and I want to be a small part of the show. I'm a gym rat anyway. I'm a pretty good boxer. This is sort of a different kind of thing. But I'm taking it very, very serious. I don't know how to do anything half-assed in my life. I even have a trainer I'm working with twice a week. This guy is sadistic. He's European. He looks like Ivan Drago from Rocky. And I told him
Bus
I was getting a little tired and a little winded on the hills. So last week I worked out with him a couple of times, 2 one-hour torture sessions, and he exhausted me. Then he put 10-pound weights on each ankle. Then he put me on a treadmill at an incline of 15 and said, okay, Paul, we're going to do some running. So I'm torturing myself, but I think it's going to pay off on race day.
Now, as much as I want to put faith that you'll be the first American since Greg Meyer to win it in 83, what would be a good finishing time for you? Are you looking to break a 4-hour mark, a 3-hour mark?
I will break. Or I think the best I can do it is 3:45. I'm going to try to run, you know, 8:30, 8:45 for the first 20 miles, and then I'm going to see what I have in the tank. I think it's going to be so loud when you get to D.C. all the way into Boylston Street. I'll be in enormous pain. I won't have that much gas left, but I'm pretty tough, and I think I'm just going to sort of ride on that energy and emotion and hopefully get in closer to 3:45 than 4. I don't think I'll do any worse than 4:50.
Okay. We will ask you more information if folks want to donate to your charity, the cause, the Greg Hill the Foundation, towards the end of the segment. But I want to kind of steer you to some Restaurant and Business Alliance stuff, if you don't mind.
Sure, let's do it.
I know one of the things that you've been championing, and that is a meals tax holiday. And I know recently you put something out in regards to, with the winter we just had, how much of a must it is that the, you know, the folks in the House and the Senate, even the governor, take a look at this and consider it.
Well, after looking at this industry and following the politics of it for 20 years, I really honestly believe that restaurant employees, and there's 300,000 hospitality industry employees in our state, have been the victim of discrimination, not on the basis of race or religion or sex, on the basis of class. They just get it stuck to them all the time because they don't work in a politically correct industry. They're not in green energy or education. These are small businesses. A lot of them are owned by people that don't speak English all that great, and they always get the worst of it. I mean, how can anybody possibly justify that Best Buy, a multi-billion dollar corporation not headquartered here, gets a tax break that the local restaurant or diner does not get? It's just not fair, and restaurants are getting hit with a perfect storm of negative conditions when you really look at the increased state and local meals tax of 7% and credit card fees and processing fees, you're losing 10% off the top. You have a winter like we just had where everybody just does not go out and stays home. You have increased competition for things like takeout foods at Whole Foods and staying home and watching Netflix, higher energy prices, higher gas prices, food prices, healthcare prices. You can really have a big string of closings in the industry. We are not growing jobs here. And I think it would make a big difference, and it would send a great message to those 300,000 people that go out there and bust their ass every day. We're going to give you a meals tax holiday. And if you don't want to run it on Friday or Saturday, fine. Run it Sunday through Thursday. It's something that should be done. And I don't know why the hell we're not doing it.
You know, you and I have talked about this a number of times, Dave. And, of course, I agree with you 100% that we should have this meals tax holiday. But let's talk for a second about what happened to not only my restaurant, but all the other restaurants last summer when they had the sales tax holiday weekend. You know, we had an incredibly slow weekend. And, you know, Friday night was terrible. Saturday night was terrible. Sunday was lousy. And I couldn't understand it. And it was probably Monday or Tuesday when I was having a conversation with Vincent Ericitti, who works for you. And one thing led to another. And he started calling people only to find out that all the restaurants that he talked to are off 40 or 50%. So these big national box stores are getting this advantage. And not only are they getting the advantage in the summer, it's killing the restaurants for that particular weekend because people are spending all their money buying TVs or refrigerators or whatever the heck they're buying, and then they're not going out to dinner. So we actually get whacked a couple of times.
Look, I've said it for years, and one of my major frustrations with the people at the State House, and you've got 40 senators, 160 representatives, and the governor. There may be a few that know more about small business than me, but I'm not sure there's one. But let's say that there are a few. It should be standard practice for all of them, when they pass any law impacting business, take the time to call 10 business owners in your district and say, what's going to happen here? I just don't understand. It's either laziness or arrogance that causes people to act without asking experts. You know, I mean, I just told you I'm running the marathon. I'm making my friends crazy. There are marathoners, nutritionists, trainers, getting advice from them. And I'm training hard and I'm training smart. And I know that I don't know everything. Yep. And if they would just take the time to say what happens on that weekend, they will realize that these small local businesses get their ass kicked. And the problem that I really have with it isn't just the messaging of it and the effect it has on our economy. The small business owner are creating the jobs, and they keep their profits here. When Best Buy or Target makes sales, who the hell knows where those profits go? But it ain't going to Massachusetts. So I don't know why we keep making these rules that accomplish the exact opposite of what I think we all want to accomplish.
You know, you and I actually had the same discussion in the State House a few weeks ago, and we both, I think, agree that most politicians are not business people, or they don't come from a business background, and they don't bother talking to business people before they make decisions, which, frankly, they should. You and I would agree. I mean, you just said that, but
yeah, but it's a common sense thing.
But, you know, common sense
doesn't, not everybody has it.
No, not everybody has, and it doesn't always play into a lot of things that get done on
decision,
Beacon Hill.
Right.
Well, look, you have to be humble enough in this world to know that you don't know everything. And there are people that know more about things than you. And I was disturbed when I started making my way around the State House, and I've been to every office there multiple times. We have a full-time lobbyist working for small business for the first time. No one's ever really had that before. There's no economic agenda at the State House. I mean, they talk about job creation. They don't know what the hell that means. Mm-hmm. They really honestly don't. They're not equipped with the knowledge or the skills. You can float $1 billion to pharmaceutical companies. I mean, that may be smart or not. I don't really know. That's above my pay grade. But I do know what makes small business people tick. And I will tell you, I have never seen the business community in Massachusetts, and I have members and advertisers and partners and friends that have 20 employees, and I have people that have 25,000 employees, you know, $1 million in sales or $1 billion in sales. I am telling you for a fact, they are not hiring, and they are electing to go to other places where there are more opportunities or get into things like real estate where you don't have to hire. That's a fact. Anybody who wants to say I'm wrong, including the governor himself, give me a call, because I know what the hell is really going on in the economy. And I take the time to talk to waiters, waitresses, bartenders, trainers, hairstylists, and I think I know more about what's going on in the Massachusetts economy than the president of the Federal Reserve, because I will take a look, for instance, at Phantom Gourmet events. I can see ticket sales, and I can see the per cap number on food and beverage that gets spent at every single event. And from that, I can tell you how the economy is in Massachusetts. Here's a fact. We don't have more jobs in this state than we had 10 years ago. Here's another fact. Not that long ago, we had 12 votes in the House. Now we have 9. People are electing to go to other states. Most of them have not gotten a raise. They're spending more on food, more on energy, more on health insurance. There are less disposable dollars in this state than there were. And if we continue on this pace, believe me, we're going from 9 votes in the House to 8. And what breaks my heart is that kids like my nieces and nephews, they may not choose to live in Massachusetts because the cost of living is just about 50th, and the business climate is just about 50th. So you can bet your ass they're going to wind up in other states where there's more opportunity.
Dave, this is Joe Rossi, one of the co-hosts here. You know, it's funny. I actually just incorporated an LLP, a limited liability partnership. I'm starting what I believe will be a several million-dollar business in a couple of years. And we actually
you
elected.
Hope.
I hope. I really truly believe it's a website, and it's going to be great. But to your point, we actually elected to incorporate in the state of Ohio. So we will not be employing anyone in the state of Massachusetts for some of the same reasons that you just outlined. And it was because the Ohio offers a lot of business starting incentives and we also have some, you know, residencies there, and we had some residencies here in Massachusetts. And out of the two, obviously Ohio was way more looked upon when we were looking at some of the statistics in Massachusetts.
Look, I just gave you the facts. This isn't a matter of opinion. I'm not registered as a Republican or a Democrat. It's not political. It's a simple mathematical, factual analysis of the situation. Massachusetts has, let's say, 6.5 million residents. There are 700,000 adults here on welfare or unemployment. 700,000. That's bigger than the population of Boston. If they have 2.3 people per household, you're talking about a quarter of the households in this state are relying on government to get a check so they can live. So anybody wants to tell me that's not a catastrophic situation and people are not electing to go to other states is just talking complete ragtime. It's like saying you're going to throw a ball in the air and gravity won't bring it back down. That is what's happening. And it is a combination of sad and infuriating to me that we're not facing this problem head on. You know, I like the marathon because there's truth in it. You either run the 26.2 and get up the hills or you don't.
Well, unless you're Rosie.
Government, they love to make up stories.
Well, unless you're Rosie Ruiz.
Hey, let me tell you something. I want to find out how she did that, because it would be a hell of a lot easier if I could take off about 8 or 10 miles and take the T.
Yeah, doesn't hurt. Let me, again, we're speaking with Dave Antleman, who is not only the CEO of the Phantom Gourmet, but he's also the president of the Restaurant and Business Alliance. A couple of initiatives that have been proposed. We know that President Barack Obama is pushing for a minimum wage hike. We know during the State of the Commonwealth, the governor was pushing it. I believe that recently you had offered the RABA offered a bit of a solution in regards to if you're going to increase the minimum wage, what you should do, and who it might hurt also if it is done.
Well, a federal minimum wage makes absolutely no sense to me. There's 23 million people that are out of work, need more work, have taken themselves out of the labor force. and the cost of living is different in every state. So it makes no sense to me at all. On a statewide level, Massachusetts is floating, going to $11 an hour, which would be the highest in the nation. So if we don't have the worst business climate now of 50 states, that would probably take us there. I continue to offer a reward to charity to anybody that can tell me the number of adults that are working full-time in Massachusetts, 2013, 40 hours, 52 weeks, making only the minimum wage, because I suspect that number of people is zero. But let's say it's a few thousand. Even those few thousand are probably there because they're getting health insurance, which is worth $10,000 to $20,000 a year in this state.
What?
So the whole thing is a complete red herring. This will devastate small retail stores, small restaurants. So the amendment that we propose is minimum wage increases would kick in Massachusetts only for people who work full-time for a company for a permanent position. And that way we will not destroy jobs. If you want teenagers running wild in your neighborhood this summer, make the minimum wage $11. I promise you, you will lock out kids from the workforce, especially poor minority teens, ex-cons. They will be out of the workforce forever. These people have no idea what they're talking about, none, because you will have layoffs, and I promise you, you will have layoffs.
Okay. And another initiative, I guess, that's been discussed over and over and over again, it hasn't made it beyond the discussion point, and that is expanding the bottle bill. Give us your thoughts on that.
The bottle bill doesn't work. 99% of the bottles and cans in this state are never redeemed.
Right.
99%. Hundreds of millions of bottles and cans are never redeemed. And there is a massive hidden cost to the bottle bill because the stores have to provide the space and the cleaning. It's absolutely disgusting what goes on. People have to store these things in their house. Then they got to bring them in their car. They drop them off at the store. And the stores are disgusting. I mean, every business owner has told me the same thing. They are getting diapers, condoms, disgusting stuff. So what would make far more sense, as opposed to increasing it, you're still going to have hundreds of millions of bottles and cans that aren't redeemed, would be to scrap it and go to some sort of intelligent curbside recycling program. But this is just another example of the politicians having absolutely no idea what they're talking about. I always try to simplify the math for them because they don't know anything about it. If you're paying $100,000 a year in rent and taxes to operate a store, and 10% of that space is being used for bottle and can redemption, it's costing you $10,000 a year because you could be using that space to make sales and hire more people and grow your business. So if they double it, they're only going to make the problem worse, and they continue to sink till it's 50th in business climate. And I don't know why we're not trying to make ourselves number one in business climate, so right. We start adding jobs. It just makes no sense to me at all.
And the recycling aspect is huge. In Whitman, where I live, they won't pick up. We have curbside pickup. They will not pick up our rubbish unless we have a recycling bin next to the rubbish. So if you don't recycle, they're not picking up your trash. So if we didn't recycle, and I had to save the bottles of water, the plastic bottle, I'd have to add a room in my house to store the crap.
You can't do it. I mean, only in government would you have a program that fails 99% of the time. 99% of the time, the thing doesn't get redeemed. And they want to increase that program. It's a failure. Admit it's a failure and come up with something far more effective. But they love to just pop off about recycling and minimum wage as opposed to tackling the actual problems and coming up with solutions. It's just utterly frustrating.
It's got to be easier just to do stupid things like this than actually tackle a problem. Otherwise, why would stupid things like this happen? I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense.
Both parties are guilty pandering to their base, and they should stop it. I don't know why you take the time. It must take a commitment to get elected to office. You got to campaign for a year. You got to raise the money. What's the point of doing it if you're just going to pander one way or the other and not get in there and actually pass something that would make things better? I don't get it.
If we ran our businesses like the way they run things, we would be a couple of those unemployed people.
Right.
Well, that's right. I mean, look, man, I've run my company for 20 years. I got to make the payroll every week. Every single week. So these people that worship the President of the United States, he's coming up over $500 billion short in his corporation every year.
Yep.
So I don't know what he's getting paid for. And what company would continue to keep their CEO if he had that big a deficit every year? They'd go bankrupt. Only in government can you continue to claim you're doing a great job.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us. Anything you want to say in closing, whether it's folks to support your run for the marathon or...
Well, thank you guys very much for having me. It's always a lot of fun. Yep. You can go to restaurantandbusinessalliance.com if you want to find out what our trade association is all about. And if you want to contribute to my marathon run, I'd love to have you do it. Just Google Dave Andelman Marathon. Dave Andelman Marathon. That takes you to the site. And anything that you give from $10 to $1,000 would be great. I want to raise a ton of money. I want to run a great race. And then I want to do some serious partying with Rich at Capitol Grill when I get done.
Fantastic. Anything you want to say, Rich?
I just want to say stay out of the sun because you will look like one of those Kenyans when you come back. And I'll see you soon.
I know. I'm thinking about maybe working out my arms a little bit more so I don't look like the Kenyans. I want to have some muscle on my arms so when I finish I can flex and have a little something on me as opposed to looking so frail. I'm gonna have that image forever in my office.
If people have seen him on TV, which probably adds 10 pounds, he still looks like he weighs 110 on TV.
Yeah, I'm not a big man. I just bought a new watch. I'm one of these guys when I buy a watch. You got to take one or two links out of it so it fits my wrist. It's very masculine.
It's not a bad thing. But we want to thank you for joining us, Dave.
Thanks, guys. Great to talk to you.
See you soon.
The great Dave Andelman joining us. It was a good conversation. The conversation continues next with Attorney General and gubernatorial candidate Martha Coakley. Don't go anywhere.